Greetings, in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here. I trust that we have already heard from the Lord. My desire is that we could continue opening our hearts and to the Lord. Let's bow and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning again with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here. I thank you for giving us a desire to sit before the preaching of your word. Lord, I just pray that you would minister to the needs that we have. I pray this morning for those that are not here. If there's any that are listening in, Lord, we lift them up to you. Just pray, Lord, that they would be blessed and encouraged this morning. I do pray, Lord, that you would, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. We ask, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts that can receive. And Lord, help us to, as we've been reminded this morning already, that not only would we hear, but that we would take these things with us and be able to apply them to our lives. We thank you, and we just want to commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 24, here in the first couple verses here, Jesus was talking about future times, and we go down to verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." This morning, the title of my message is about a warning. And when we think about these things, we usually don't think about ourselves. But rather, we think about other people groups even. And whether it's in physical or spiritual, the warning of being deceived. Something I've been pondering some in the last few months, and I've also listened to a message by Matthew Melanioni that really challenged me. And something that was left in that message that really sort of stuck with me is someone that is deceived is being told a lie or is living a lie, they don't know it. It's like, well. So this morning, the challenge that I would like for us as we go through Scripture, as we go through this message, that can we, for a moment here, just think about who am I? What do I believe? How is my life living? How am I living my life? And am I being true? When we start often, as human beings, when we start going down through these things, we quickly go to, oh, they do it like that. We can pick it apart and say how it's right or wrong. And in our workplaces, we find ourselves doing that. When we talk about the way we do a job, we find other people that do it differently. And it's like, well, we're pretty sure that we're doing it the right way, and that they're doing it the wrong way. Or maybe it's not wrong, but our way is better. Somehow, that's the way we tend to think. And as we think about being deceived, sometimes we tell ourselves that's like, well, that's not possible for me. Or we might think that because of you name it, the way I've been raised, the things I've been taught, the commitments that I've made. I think as we go through scripture and we look and start reading warnings about that, as I was looking at different verses recently here, I didn't see it pointing to certain people groups, certain ages, or how close you were to God, but rather that there was warnings to take heed, to notice, pay attention that these things don't happen in your life. When we think about being deceived, it's believing something that is not true. And if we take the time and process some of the life that we've lived, we probably can see fine areas that it's like, yeah, I was tricked or deceived and realized it at a later time. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, I think is a good chapter for us to take in. There's some instruction for us. If we're concerned about where we stand and being true, and I think I'm just going to take the time and read this chapter. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So, this chapter here gives us a lot of instruction. Talks to us as those that consider themselves as youth. It instructs you how you should live and that you should be an example of the believers. Talks about our conversations in the life that we live. And in verse 15, says that if we live this way, that many will profit. In verse 16 there says that not only by living this life, that not only will we save ourselves, but those that are around us. Our life will influence others. And I believe Brother Henry made that clear to us this morning, that how are we living? And is our life influencing for Jesus Christ? And if we're living according to just the things that we can glean out of this chapter, it will influence us. It will influence other people. It will make them stop and think about their life. It reminds me of a time when I was, back when I was a teenager and not living for the Lord, and I was choosing to live for self. I was trying to enjoy myself in that state. And when I was surrounded by someone that was choosing to live for the Lord, and how that made me feel, I was reminded of my rebellion and selfishness. And I was reminded that I wasn't ready to meet the Lord. And when we're living a godly life, when we're living for Jesus, when we're doing that intentionally, that's what's going to happen with our lives as we surround other people. In Genesis chapter 3, talking about being deceived, and we seems like we've touched on this chapter a few times recently. Genesis 3, verse 13, "And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Here in the Garden of Eden, they were told about the fruit that they weren't supposed to partake of. I'd like for us to just stop and just remember Adam and Eve in this place. It would seem like they had a relationship with God. And as you read through Genesis, it would appear like they had meetings with God on a regular basis. And so we would say that they had a relationship. How things were going well. How did it come to this place where Eve was deceived and partook of this fruit? I think she started listening to other voices. She listened to Satan and started reasoning with herself and with the things that were being said, and was deceived. And it wasn't until after the fact that she realized what took place. In John chapter 8, in this chapter, the Pharisees, we see here in this chapter, were trying to deceive Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 1. "Jesus went up unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And we know how it goes here, that they didn't like the answer, and it brought conviction into their hearts. But something that I would like to notice here is these men came to Jesus with an intent to deceive them, to deceive Jesus. Jesus took his time with that response that he had. And I was just pondering that there. And in James chapter 1, verse 19, it reminds us here that it tells, let every man be swift to hear. Hear things out. Slow to speak. And slow to wrath. Wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So, I believe we see Jesus doing that here. And I think we can learn something here. As life comes at us, as we take things in, do we seek out our own wisdom and our own understanding as we speak into things? We're reminded here in James to be swift to hear, slow to speak. And I think if we can allow God to teach us this principle in life, as we and do what we see Jesus doing here, is just taking it in and listening and seeking God's wisdom and not our own, that much can be accomplished. In John chapter 8, going down to verse 30, and as we continue reading in this chapter, we see that the Pharisees were with Jesus here, and it seems like they were, Jesus was talking to them and talking to others in the crowd as well. But take notice here in verse 30 here, and he spake these words, many believed on him. So in the midst of the Pharisees coming at Jesus and trying to deceive him, and Jesus was able to teach through these moments. How do I respond when I sense that someone is trying to pull something over me, is trying to get the upper hand, and I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know something's amiss. Jesus worked through this and spoke truth in a way that caught the attention of the hearers. And we come down to verse 30 here, and it says that many believed on him. The message that we heard earlier this morning, I think that's what Henry was talking about, is the life that we're living. Is it getting the attention of the hearers? Is it making a difference? And we see that Jesus walked through that. He was not deceived. He did not fall for their trap. In Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the cliffs of the rocks and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? We see here in this book here that it's talking about pride. And often when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, we start thinking this way. And it's when we're in this frame of mind, we set ourselves up to be deceived. Recently, I've been reading through Judges, and you look at the life of Samson, and you see how he set himself up. If you go to Judges chapter 16, and we see here in chapter 16 the interaction with Samson and Delilah, and how if we read that chapter, we have to come to the conclusion that Samson knew that his wife was trying to get something out of him, was trying to betray him. And we see him playing along with it, and tricking her. He was making sport of it, it would seem like. But finally, he caved, and he deceived himself. He thought that he could, it would seem like, tell her where his strengths came from, and she cut his hair off. And in verse 20 of chapter 16 here, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson had convinced himself that he could do whatever he wanted to, and it was going to work out. He finally got to that point. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." These are things that we deal with. And sometimes we think that we can get away with it. But in the end, we usually find out the results of that. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, "If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves." In James chapter 1, verse 22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." These are things, tendencies that we can be deceived. It's like we listen to good things and we're maybe excited by it, but we have warnings here that not to just listen to good things isn't going to help, but rather we also need to put it in practice and live it. How often do we find ourselves looking in a mirror and we see things about ourselves that should be fixed? We might, it's like, oh, our hair are a mess, or there's a grease mark on our face, and don't do anything. Typically, if we are in a mood that, in a frame of mind that we that it matters, we'll fix it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Do we understand what that means? Do we sometimes say it's like, well, I can get away with it? It doesn't really matter. Who we hang out with tells something about us. The things who we listen to. We have opportunity to listen to all kinds of people in today's world. The kind of music that we choose, all, I believe, this verse speaks into that. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 tells us something that we should not do. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? So these are just some warnings about being deceived, of things that we shouldn't do. So, as a people, as individuals, what are some steps that we can take to verify that we are on a good path? That we're not on that list of people that is believing a lie. The way Matthew Meloni put it, after all, those people that are deceived, they don't know it. So how do we verify that we're not there? In Judges, we look at Samson, some of the things that he was doing, and got himself in a predicament, is we see him again and again. We see him making decisions with his own reasoning. His parents told him that he shouldn't be marrying the woman that he went after, but he wasn't too concerned about that. He was doing what he wanted to. In James chapter 1, verse 19, coming back to that verse, some of the things that we can look into our lives. Am I doing these things? Tells us, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and just look at this chapter again. Verse 13. The exhortation that was given here. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. We hear, we see again that not using our own understanding to our only our own understanding to make decisions, but to reading, to exhortation, listening to other people, to doctrine. And in closing, in Psalms, I think chapter 1, the first three verses here, I think sums it up really well here, in that we can find promise and hope in these verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Tells us in this verse that this man is blessed if he's not doing these things. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. What do we hear here? We see a man that is concerned about what God wants. He's not concerned about how to wiggle his way out of it, but his concern is that his life would be pleasing to the Lord. I was reminded when Henry shared about the lawyer's office and all the books that he has that he needs to go by. And the reason I think there's so many is everybody's trying to find loopholes, trying to figure out how they can squirm out of something that they're supposed to do. Well, God's people, here's our guide. What's the difference? God's people, a heart that is changed, is looking. It says here in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He knows. This man knows that if I do it God's way, I'm safe. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to please my Lord. My life is going to have an impact on others. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. As we live for the Lord in this way, I believe that our life will have an effect. It will change us. It will change. It will inspire or convict the people around us. May God bless each one of you as you take these things in, as we analyze our lives and allow God to make us, to use us. May God bless.